Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
A quote, we're looking into all that now with regard to the kicking situation. I love Kyle. We're looking into that now. Oh, did you just get to it? Yeah, we're going to sit down and watch some film. What do you need to see? He came into yesterday's game 11 for his last 21 and then doinked a 27-yarder. Mm.
Doinker.
You, by the way, I know you hate this word today. You got lucky that didn't cost you the game. A lot of other people deserve credit for the fact that that didn't cost you a game. But you go on the road in the division, play a grinder, absolutely gag 6 points, and then find yourselves with 3:30 to go down by three with the ball in your hands. And somebody who's had one target thrown to him his entire life,
right,
steps in front of a defensive back and wins the game for you. Use whatever words you want, but the 49ers ought to feel incredibly fortunate that Jake Moody, who advertised that he was going to cost you a game, didn't cost you the game. Very fortunate.
And he was not alone. The blocked field goal is not on him.
That's correct.
You know, he might have come up and stepped up and drilled that one. They might have protected the kick, and he might have missed it anyway. Who knows? But what happened is what happened. And so for Kyle Shanahan, I do think you take a day, and you take a deep breath, and you look around, and you go, okay, that was not what we want from Jake Moody. What do we do about it? And also, you look around the league, and you mentioned this earlier. I don't have all the names of all the kickers who miss kicks, but kicking was not great yesterday.
No, it wasn't
so
great.
My point, though, Mark, is if other teams are going to be out there sniffing around for a replacement kicker, you may want to be ahead of the curve.
I don't think that will happen, but it was not lost on all 49er fans that the guy who kicked all the balls through the upright for the Bills last night, including the game winner, was on the street a week and a half ago.
Right.
And their kicker, Tyler Bass, went on IR. But by the way, he's going to come back. And then what's going to happen with Matt Prater? So maybe you want to look at Matt Prater. Greg Joseph is available and has been working out. Mayoko called him the other day. Hey, Greg, you still ready? Yup, I'm ready. Okay, so that's an option because he looked good in camp when he was in there, and he's a veteran. And there are always a bunch of kickers on the street. I love what Richard Sherman said about this today. Richard Sherman's podcast last night, and this is what I want to echo. I'm kind of done fighting about it. I'm more now on the quest to understand. Explain it to me like I'm a child. Explain to me why you still want, if you're Kyle Shanahan, why? Why do you still want Jake Moody on this team? He drives you nuts, Kyle.
They all drive him nuts.
Your face is contorting and changing colors on a daily basis because of this guy. He made the special teams coach take a walk in a preseason game 3 weeks ago. Like, he needed to meditate. I need to understand. Someone explain to me what naked pictures this guy's got because I don't get it. I don't understand why the Niners seemingly want to continue to sign up for this aggravation.
Because you know what that is, right? That they've signed up for.
It's an aggravation sensation.
No doubt. No doubt. And they are not completely pot committed, but they've committed, whether it's the draft pick, I think that that whole idea of, man, we used a third round pick and therefore we have to hold on to him, I think that that's now gone by the boards.
Agreed.
I think that's no longer a part of it. But if you are Shanahan and you talk to your special teams coach and you look at the kicker, he does have a big leg. He has the ability to kick the ball a long way, and He's made some big kicks in the past. We all focus on the misses. And so if you're Shanahan, you look at the whole thing in totality. And I do also believe that you look at the second half of last year when he came back from the injury and you realize that he was a kicker dealing with an injury. So you go ahead and file that under maybe just injury and you hope that he can be better this year. And so far, through one game, that was not a very good statement for Jake Moody to make. Even the one field goal he did make kind of snuck in there. It was a little bit of a block, and you know this is a golfer, and you don't often go through this, I don't think. I know I never do, where you have what they call a two-way miss, where normally I hit the ball, the golf ball, and it goes to the right 95% of the time. I almost never hit it, and it goes left. Yeah. Jake Moody right now has a two-way miss. He's missing left, and he's blocking them right, and they're not missing, so that becomes, for me, the bigger issue where if you're a kicker or you're a golfer and you're going through the two-way miss and you don't know, like it's aim right and it goes right.
I totally have that.
Yeah.
I can just as easily hook one as slice one or whatever.
That's really disconcerting.
Greg Joseph in his career, because you keep bringing up the big leg, he is 17 for 30 in his career from beyond 50 yards.
Greg Joseph. Okay.
The player who was in camp with the 49ers. He is only 30 years old.
17 for 30 is not great anymore.
From 50 plus?
I mean, I'm sure it's okay.
It's not terrible. He's only tried. Gosh, he was with a bunch of teams last year. He was with three different teams last year, and he only tried two and made one. From beyond 50 yards. But, you know, go back to age 27, 2021 with the Minnesota Vikings. He was 7-9 from beyond 50 yards. Mixed bag. But you're right. The 50-yard field goal is, like, not a big deal anymore.
Yep.
And Minnesota played in a dome. You know, so that,
Moody,
like,
is 6 of 12 in his career.
Okay.
On 50-plus. Okay. So, I mean, similar percentages. Greg Joseph, slightly better.
A little bit better.
17 for 30, slightly better than 50%. But just to give some perspective on the Moody correlation.
I guess my point is the big leg, if you're only kicking 50% of them, you can find somebody else to do that who maybe also makes better than 50% of the ones that are inside of 30 yards, for crying out loud. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. And the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. How about Robin in the city? Hi, Robin. Thanks for the call.
Hi, you guys. Thank you. I'm watching the game again. I just wanted to say, I want to ask a question and I want to say a comment. So let me say the comment. I look at the Niners as a brand new team. I do that because they're not the same team. They don't have the same personnel. The defense is young. And I do that because I try to, you know, to measure my expectations to what's in front of me and not what I think that's in my head. That, you know, oh, this is what they did 2 years ago. This is, I think that's unfair. They have a whole different type of personnel. And the second thing I want to say is I told a friend George Kittle was going to be out, and he says, I think the Niners training staff sucks. And I'm just wondering, what the hell does the training staff? But it is you do have to wonder why we keep getting all these injuries all of a sudden. And then the last thing I want to say, guys, and I think you've heard me say this before, the only thing problem I have with Shanahan are his personnel choices and how him and Mitch build a roster. All right? Love you guys both, and take care of one another.
Okay.
Thank you, Robin.
Robin, yep. You too. Thanks so much. Who did she say is making personnel choices with Kyle?
Lynch.
Oh, Lynch.
John Lynch, yeah. That's
she said Mitch. I'm like, who's Mitch?
No.
Got it, Lynch.
Yeah, Mitch from Jersey appeared yesterday on Overtime with Grandy.
Oh, it's exciting.
It was an emergency. Yeah.
All right, yeah. Well, it happened.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Anyway, here's one. Let's address this for a second.
Let's do it.
Because I never know what to do with this. I clearly can't say that it's a bad take. I also can't say that it's a good one. And I've arrived at a spot in my life and career where I don't know what to do with this. When there's a team that is dealing with a lot of injuries, people go, training staff sucks. And I'm like, I don't even know. I don't know what to say about that. I feel like a training staff is about healthy choices. It's about understanding the body. It's about putting guys in their best position to kind of go out there and have the knowledge of what to eat and how to work out and how to stretch and just how to be ready. I don't know if I can arrive at a spot where when football players get hurt, the training staff is to blame. But I also don't know if that's a me thing. Like, I just, there's so many, like, there's no fan base today that's like, like, they all got hurt. Everybody's getting, like, there's pretty an much, injury yeah. report for every team. But there's something about the 49ers where they are, it seems like we get more than our fair share. And of late, it happens to be the big names. I don't know. Do you point to the training staff when something like that happens to George Kittle?
When you look at soft tissue injuries, I don't look at them and say, oh, you're definitely to blame, but it's something that I file away under, you know, a commonality. For example, Juwan Jennings has his shoulder get messed up, and you clearly see what happened. The defensive player just charged into him, and there was actually a flag on that play for illegal contact, but yeah, his shoulder got jacked up. Fred Warner's injury, where he caught a cleat in the face. You saw that one, right? When Fred
Absolutely.
Had to go out, and it's like, oh my God, I hope he's okay, and he's spitting blood, and I'm like, oh my God, he basically ate that man's cleat. Is that on the training staff? Is his face not tough enough because the training staff is not... I'm just making light
right.
of it, but...
Juwan Jennings got absolutely
yeah, I just said that.
Whacked
his shoulder.
In the shoulder. Right,
exactly.
Yeah, all of them.
And so, for something like George Kittle, though, where you know you just kind of tweaked the hammy, why did you tweak your hamstring on a play where you weren't really involved in anything other than running?
I don't know.
Those are the ones where I think it's fair to look at the training staff and say, you know, not that it's your fault, but why do these things happen to the 49ers?
Okay, but George Kittle's gotten hurt every year. Like, I don't know
but
why.
But usually it's during a football play, like a football action, right?
Right, but I mean, like, I don't know. Does the Warriors training staff suck? Steph wasn't doing anything. Like, you're in your 30s.
Yep.
And you're running and you're twisting and your hammy goes. You've had it happen. I've had it happen. It happens to everybody.
I was refereeing a fourth grade girls basketball game. Talk about embarrassment.
It's actually pretty funny.
I mean,
you see the ref
dude, screaming. Ah! Oh, yeah. Like yelping in pain. The hammy, it's no joke now.
I told you to get off Yelp. You got to get off Yelp.
Yeah, I got to get back on there. But I don't think that you can look at it and say, oh, training staff, because George Kittle has been, he's been mostly durable. We don't know how long he's out. And
it's going to be a few weeks.
Well,
I mean,
the training staff can sit everybody down and have them all stretch and do all the things that they're supposed to do and hydrate and eat your veggies, and then you run out there and things happen. So
we have, as a football society, we have the hardest time with injuries. I hear people blame the training staff.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
I hear them blame the coach. Oh, you ran him into the line. Oh, did a football coach get his football player hit? Is that what you're saying? We blame the player. That guy can never stay healthy. We're on the verge of it with Isaac Garendo. And I actually think with all of these things, there's a little something to it. You know, Kyle even said at one point, like, yeah, you've got to learn how to absorb the punishment of the NFL and stay in there. You've got to learn how to do that, but it's going to get everybody at some point. And so I guess there's either no one to blame or everyone to blame. That's the way I look at it. I cannot look at injuries in football and go, it's the training staff, it's the coaching staff, it's the style of play, it's the player. I can't be all in on any of those things. I can simply say, yeah, there's little pieces of all of that, but I think all of them are just beaten by bad luck. Like, that's where I, like, you play football. You play football, and you have got to be able to navigate injuries because they're coming.
Yeah, and they're coming, and normally you can look at an injury that happens when a football player collides with another guy or something actually happens around football, but these are the ones that make you scratch your head a little bit when a player just comes up with an injury on a play where he wasn't even really principally involved in the violence that is football. And that's the bad luck part of it. And also, you mentioned it, you know, you get players who are older and things start to happen when you get a little bit, you know, up in years. Trent Williams had, I don't even know if it was an ankle, looked like an ankle, and he was down and he went out for one snap and he came back in. So you got to expect a certain amount of this just having an older team.
We'll let you hear from Kyle in about 10 minutes with what he said on the conference call. The big updates, first of all, the one we didn't see coming. Brock Purdy is dealing with a left shoulder and toe injury, the toe more serious. Kyle Shanahan said, quote, "We'll see how the week progresses." Admitted it was possible that tomorrow the 49ers might need to look into signing a different backup quarterback, which would start meaning wind up Mac Jones and already get him ready for week two. So that's a big update. George Kittle is going to miss, it sounds like, multiple weeks. Not defined yet what that means, but, quote, a few weeks. Juwan Jennings, not a lot of meat on this bone as of yet. MRI was good, waiting on a CT, no evaluation yet or timeline for Juwan Jennings. And on the kicking situation, quote, "We're looking into all that now," and mentioned the possibility of tryouts. So that will be a big story throughout the week as well. Let's go to Nick in San Jose. Hi, Nick. Thanks for calling. What's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? I just wanted to talk about the offensive and defensive lines. You know, I don't know. I just feel like the league is moving more towards the trenches every year, and we're seeing the best teams in the league invest more and more in the trenches. And it feels like the 49ers, for whatever reason, are not investing in the offensive line. I mean, they are in the defensive line to a certain extent, but I don't know. I looked at the rushing numbers from this last week, and it seems like they're averaging about like 3 yards a carry or 3.5 yards a carry, which is really, really good. But it didn't feel that way to me when I was watching. It seemed like every time the Seahawks needed a run play, they were able to pick up the yards that they wanted. And I know Bosa came up with a clutch play at the end, but it seemed like when they panned over to all the coaches on the sideline, everyone was just relieved, not like they were expecting it to happen. So, you know, I just wanted to get your thoughts on where the 49ers are with their defensive line and their offensive line, and, you know, just your opinions on that.
Yeah, Nick, thanks. So first of all, both teams actually, as far as yards per carry, were very similar. The Seahawks were 3.2, the Niners were 3.3, and no, those are not good numbers. Not up for offense. They're not. You want that number to be 4 or north if you're the offense. I think both of these defenses are very good. I think both of them played really well. I do think that, you know, the Niner offensive line had some concerns, but it was more in the passing game than it was in the running game. I thought Kenneth Walker looked awful for the Seahawks. I thought Charbonnet looked better, but not dominant. Both teams, what they really did well was they limited the long runs. Like nobody had the longest run of the game was for Christian McCaffrey, and it was 13 yards.
Yep.
That was the longest rush of the game.
Yeah, and he had another one for 11. And in general, I thought that the Niners' run game was efficiently mediocre. It was good enough when they needed it to. They didn't have a lot of first down runs that were negative. They were able to get 3 and even 4 sometimes and stay ahead of the chains. And it was not an eye-popping, you know, explosive run game, but it was efficient enough to where they had the ball for 38 minutes. That counts in my book for a lot. The defense was chilling.
Yeah, absolutely.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.